Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. This is Julia Campbell, and I am your host of Nonprofit Nation. Thank you so much for being here today, wherever you are, on the go, in the car, folding laundry, walking the dog, whatever you're doing. I'm really happy to be here with you today. The question that we are answering on the podcast today, how can we crack the code to find long-term donors? So we know, most of us, most nonprofits struggle to generate income, which can hinder impact because it's common to constantly live in fundraising mode that impacts your team and your mission, maybe even your family. So how can we find more donations within the network of supporters we already have so that we can leave our unique mark on the world? And my guest today is James Thorne. James Thorne is a passionate creator dedicated to empowering individuals, families, and communities through entrepreneurial opportunities. In a career that has spanned a range of industries, from hospitality to ministry, from filmmaking, we are going to have to talk about that, to marketing and business coaching, James has managed teams, led departments, and built several businesses from the ground up. His greatest ambition is to love others like Jesus Christ and to leave behind a legacy of lives changed through financial and spiritual freedom. James is currently the owner and chief people officer for Quirk. He's the founder and CEO of Vehicle for Good and the owner of Bowtie Media. And he lives in the heart of Fort Worth with his wife and three kids. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Julie. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So how did you get started in nonprofit work? How did you get dragged into the sector? Most of us fell into it. I want to hear your story.
I like that, dragged in. I spent about 10 years working for two different churches, mainly in media and communications. And through that time, I grew into more of an executive role where I was overseeing missions and groups and loved building teams. I also started working with some nonprofits on the side that came out of that church and loved serving them and finding ways to support. And I just got the itch to start my own thing. And I really wanted to, of course, freedom of my own time, right? Personally. But then outside of that, just be like, how can I support somewhere in a niche and really be helpful? And churches and nonprofits end up being the thing. So I jumped the few nonprofits that helped came out of the church. I started with them, started doing some work with them. And it's been a little over 5 years now that I've been mainly serving nonprofits and some churches. It kept niching down to what we were helping with. We can talk about frameworks and stuff. I know that's part of this too. And I found StoryBrand right before I launched. And I was like, StoryBrand. Oh my gosh, I finally have something I can use, right? I'm going to do this and apply it. Started getting people that were certified to be on the team. And through that process, though, it's like, well, then how do we can't serve everyone. And the biggest problem we kept running into were small nonprofits that just didn't have money. And that ended up being, well, then they can't even afford us to do work. Mm-hmm. So how can we help these nonprofits get to a place where they can make some money? And it's just morphed over time where we're helping people with their fundraising and helping with their donor base and helping them build that so they can really get a leg under them. So I'm for the underdog, the smaller groups, the nonprofits that need some help. And that's where my heart is.
I agree. I think that there's worth, you know, in serving all different size nonprofits, but I agree. My heart has always been, I've always worked with smaller and more mid-sized nonprofits, like bootstrapping organizations. I think what's interesting though, is that I feel like every organization struggles to fundraise, especially in this climate.
I completely agree.
So hard.
it's across the board. I think I just have a heart to get to a place where these smaller groups can get a footing and have something to stand on. Because I think fundraising is always an issue, even when you have a department that are for funding or, you know, business developers or whatever it might be. But those, they at least have some sort of base and footing to stand on as an organization. So I'm like, how do we get them to that place? So that's kind of my goal.
And what I appreciate, and thank you so much for sending me your book. No one's going to see this because there's no video. So you sent me a copy of your book, Lasting Donor Locator, Proven Frameworks for Finding the Right Donors to Engage with Your Nonprofit. And I love a framework and a formula. So you write on your website, success happens inside of frameworks. Repeatable systems are easy to execute and bring consistent, predictable results. I absolutely believe that. And I do think that for smaller organizations, having like a framework and a formula is so important. So what inspired you to write this book and who is it meant for?
Yeah, that's good. So right before I started working in the church world, I actually raised my own support for about 3 years. And I was a part of a group that went into high school and school campuses. Doing that helped me really learn how to build a base of donors and have them support what you were doing. And that had been something that I didn't even want to go back to. Once I started getting paid full time, I was like, I don't ever want to raise support again. That was awful. So hard. And then when I started working with nonprofits, seeing that as their main deal, they had, that's how they were literally operating. And this book and the framework that's built around started from my way back when I was first raising support to today, using things that we've learned and applied. And that's why it was written. We want to just help figure out, we've got some frameworks that we've used and we know work from then to now that we've applied and showed to kind of, to really focus on the right people and who you're going after.
I love a good proven framework, like battle tested.
Yeah.
And out in the trenches and used it and seen results with it. I think that's always the best kind of framework. So you share a formula in the book, and we're going to put the link in the show notes if people would like a copy of this book. But you share a formula to help fundraisers locate proven donors who love to give. So the first piece is, why focus on proven donors? I mean, I think I can already understand the answer. I only ask that because in my work, I do digital marketing and social media work with nonprofits. And it's often about acquisition, acquisition, acquisition. New donors, new donors, new donors. Let's just go after Google ads and go after Facebook ads. And let's just like grab all the donors we can, you know, from everywhere that we can. Yeah. So what I thought was so interesting about this formula, it's very specific to help fundraisers locate proven donors who love to give. So my first piece of the question is, why focus on this segment? And then maybe tell us a little bit about the formula.
No, that's good. The why, from what we've learned, is the ones that are really going to stick with you in long term are those people. And if we can learn who that type of person is by spending time with them, that's part of the framework. Identifying, you know, in the book, you'll talk about, let's find 100 people that have given to you that have just been go-getters. And you may not have 100, but you start with what you have and you start asking questions and you just get down to the type of person that loves to be a part of what you're doing and you fully understanding who that person is. So then when it comes time to, like you say, reaching out and throwing it out to the masses, that communication is bringing in the right type of people, the right type of person. And that framework to the second part of the answer is really just, it keeps narrowing down till we can get to one type of person to talk to and say, who is that person? What do they love? What do they love doing without you, with you? And why do they continue to be a part of what you're doing? And then you morph messaging around. Then we do step in some of that, you know, people that are familiar with StoryBrand. We use that framework, but that framework doesn't work very well if you don't know who the person is really well. So that's how we spend a lot of time identifying who those donors are that are the best for you. And then write to them. Great. Let's make sure that everything you say speaks to them and not all about your mission, more about these people that are already a part of your mission, if that makes sense.
Well, let's talk about StoryBrand for a little bit, just for people that don't know. It's a book, it's a podcast, it's a community. Can you talk about how this relates to the work we're talking about?
Yeah. So StoryBrand, they've done a really good job at building a framework that puts segments of messaging into buckets. And these buckets help identify the way that people already think about and draw them into a story. Maybe it's a movie or it is a book. And there's things that are done in all of these mediums, the ones that do really well, they're following this similar framework. So Don Miller, who wrote the book, spent a while really identifying this framework that has evolved around story to draw people in to take some sort of action. So what we do is we take that framework that is a 7-step process, and you can go look it up, get the book, you can learn all about it. There are certified guides that are in this company or come out of this company that have really learned the process, and they work together. There's hundreds of them that work together on this. So what I did, that's great. I loved the framework. So I just started hiring certified guides to be on our team. And then we then applied that to really knowing who that person is. Because we, early days, we were using StoryBrand and we're like, well, this is an incredible framework, but it's not working. Why isn't it working? It's because we don't know the person that well. We got to know who we're talking to. And that's what really shifted our focus in knowing that we're going after donors, we're going after people to give money, to really understanding them first. So a lot of times when we get a paid job with the nonprofit, a lot of the front end work is just identifying that person, the donor. And we spend a lot of time on that. Mm-hmm. And people are like, man, we are grueling this. I'm like, yeah, because if we know and we can really speak to them, this framework they're about to apply is gonna take off because it does work as long as you know the person. So
where can we start? Where can we find these people? And then sort of what methods do you recommend to truly try to understand them?
A lot of what we do, it's pretty simple when people think about it, but they just don't do it. Mm-hmm. It's going and talking to the people, asking the right questions, getting advice and feedback. We even have for-profit companies that come and talk to us. And I'm like, you're not asking your clients what solved like this problem. And so you'll really know if you just go talk to them. And you don't have to talk to every person. Say you have 1,000 in there. Well, I can't talk to 1,000. Well, great. Go talk to 100. It's not hard. And that's where we start in the book. It's 100. Go find the 100. Let's start asking questions. Tweak that group of people. And someone may just be getting started. Go, well, I have 10. Okay. Well, start with yourself. Why are you doing this? And then what's your why behind that? And then go to your family and friends, right? What are these? Why are they wanting to support what you're doing? And usually people can write a list of 100 people, even if they're getting something started. Mm-hmm. And it's just going like, great, why would you care about what I'm doing here? And it's a little bit different of a question because they may not have given before. But as soon as you start getting givers, spend time with them. What about this do you love? What about what we're doing makes a difference for you? Why do you continue to give? Why are you giving monthly? It's really good questions that are simple, and they're really basic questions that people just don't ask them. And they don't take time to do it. And people love data and they love pulling in research, and I have nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, best data is just asking the questions, just going, getting on the phone, writing down some answers, do that 100 times. And I'm pretty sure you'll change your entire model for your organization.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we need quantitative and qualitative research and anecdotes. And I think what holds a lot of organizations or nonprofits back is, one, they think they don't have the time. And the second thing is that they feel like if they can't talk to every donor, they can't talk to one donor. So what advice would you give an organization that has those sort of challenges or obstacles?
No, that's good. I'll kind of reverse that from my own upbringing. You mentioned in the bio, I'm a Christ follower, and you know, part of that's getting the message out of Jesus. And you can't, one, you don't save anyone, but you can't really save everyone, right? So it's like you just go after one at a time, and you spend time with people, and you share your story. It's the same way. You can't, you know, when people are doing their mission in your nonprofit, you can't actually save everyone. And whatever your cause is, it's impossible. That's why there's multiple of you out there trying to do what you're trying to do. But you can go after one. And if you go after that one and do it well, then you go after another. And you just kind of see that ripple effect. I think I just talked about why it's important just to focus on one. But you're right. You don't have time. When you're focused on your mission, you don't. But at the end of the day, if you can slow down and take some time on the front end to really identify, maybe it is just one donor at a time, one donor a week, whatever it looks like. then you are creating more time in the future to focus on your mission. Because if you can build it right, the donors and the base is there, you know, then one day you are hiring a team of people to fundraise and whatever that looks like. But I think it is, how do you not have the time when I know your thoughts are you don't. But my question would be, how do you not have the time? Because really, I think what my business coach tells me all the time, you start it out right, so it ends right, all the time. Any endeavor I'm starting, he's like, you got to start it out right, so it ends right. So it really makes me think, okay, I got to spend more time on the front end, because if you don't start it out right, you spend the rest of your time trying to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're just mulling over something that you thought you just wanted to get started, and you're just trying to fix it. So if you can think about that, I think that really helps know, great, let's just take some time to make sure this is done right, so that you're not spending the rest of your time trying to make whatever happen just because you got to do your mission, right?
And also, if it's not done perfectly, like, one is better than nothing. You know, speaking to one donor this week, sending out one thank you note this week, doing one outreach this week is better than not doing anything. It's almost like exercise, you know, working out one time, taking a walk one day. It's better than not doing anything. And certainly it's not a silver bullet, it's not going to solve all of your problems. But I do think there's this mindset in the sector that we are putting out fires, and we certainly are, and we are so reactionary. So my theme and my word for 2024, as I've said before on the podcast, is intention and leading with intention and not being so reactionary. And I think this absolutely speaks to that. So how are we being intentional and forward thinking and thinking long term? And where are we reacting? And how can we maybe increase the intentionality versus the reacting? That makes sense.
I think that's really good. I think that does more than just your organization, but the people that work for you, the people that are around you, your family, that's living life that way, I think serves you really well.
Well, you talk about in the blog, in the book, non-traditional, like more diversified ways of raising money. And you write, you know, at least 80%, and I didn't double check this, but I'm willing to bet this is true. At least 80% of nonprofit income is a result of at least one major event each year or from three major donors. As a development director, I can definitely say that was the cause of, or former development director, that was the cause of some of the most stressful times in my life, the most pressure, that big gala, that one big event, or those two major donors that could, you know, honestly pull the rug out from under you at any moment. So how can nonprofits work to create more consistent, diversified revenue?
You said non-traditional, some of those, I think there is a blend, because I would say, I tell people a lot of time, I've done some non-traditional work, or traditional work, sorry. I wouldn't say we're the experts in that, because we're always trying to find new ways to do it. So we are building partners with people that are really good at the traditional side to help see how that blends into what we're building today. We're taking things that, we're not reinventing the wheel, but things like sweepstakes, things that are totally different than what someone might be used to. Maybe it's completely figuring out a way to do a store or a call center, or there's things that you can do in your nonprofit that makes money that's not a lot of work. And the sweepstakes model, I'll plug that just because I'm really excited about it. We're learning this new model that we created our own nonprofit called Vehicle for Good, and we give away cars in the U.S. They're brand new cars. People enter to win all over the country, and we raise money for a nonprofit. We just finished one. Someone won a Ram Power Wagon truck, $100,000 truck. And then we just cut a check to a nonprofit for $140,000.
Amazing.
And we did that in 3 months. And they didn't do any work. The nonprofit did nothing for that. But that's just one of the ways that we could go down a rabbit hole on the type of people you're bringing in for that. But it is ways to raise money that is different. And I know a lot of people want that monthly donor as well, right? And a lot of things that we're doing have to do with online interaction. Yes, a lot of people consider us a marketing agency. We just are for nonprofits, and we're helping them find ways to put themselves digitally online so that more people can see them. And if we're writing to the right person, the right people come in. And then we use StoryBrand. So again, StoryBrand's got a framework that you're bringing in with resources and having landing pages, and it works really well. So we just apply that And we actually was writing stuff this morning. We had a group that we just started doing work with that's already had over 900 downloads of their resource. And now they're going through the emails and we're seeing them come back on emails. And we've already had a couple people donate from the emails that have come through. And, you know, this is a group that's a one-man show, right? And they're just like, we don't have time to do any of this. Well, great. Let's figure out how to build this so we can start putting stuff out there on social media. And now we hopefully have something that will just, for them, replicate more of a monthly donor base, all from running some ads, posting on social media, and then downloading a resource.
So what is the resource? Because I totally agree with you. I love the value add perspective where we're not just sort of expecting people to find us. We are going out there and saying, we're active. Like, we have a sweepstakes. We have this downloadable resource. We have a report. We have a this, we have a that. Like, here's what we can offer you. And then potentially bringing people like into our web. So what do you think would be a great value add resource for nonprofits to put out there?
That's great. That's a really good question. And I do think there are certain things nonprofits are doing that would change what the resource is. Mm. Like, some might be able to do something that is an audio or a podcast or some sort of video, but at the core, which some people will balk at, you know, it's a PDF download that you're creating, and there's tons of them out there. They're like, yeah, I see it all the time. Yeah, but you download the ones you care about.
Right.
And then
I download so many PDFs. I have to, but compared to the amount that are sent to me or shown to me, I probably download like 1% of them, but you're right. I download the ones that mean something to me.
So the most recent example I was sharing with you about, there's a group here in Fort Worth, Texas, that is serving the homeless community and they're helping them beat homeless to get back on their feet. And we create a resource called 7 surprising events that lead to homelessness right here in your community. That resource, just right here in the Fort Worth DFW area, has been already downloaded over 900 something times. I think it was 922.
I want to download it.
Yeah. But it's like, great. Like, to them, someone that goes to the site or they're seeing it and they care to see that, great. They're downloading, they're getting the answer to the question that they're seeking. But then now they're in a funnel of emails that are hitting them to get them to come back to their website and look at their 3 different options for packages for helping people on a monthly basis. And that's what kind of worked for them. So there are different groups are doing different things, but at the simplest form, it's a PDF. But it's got to be something that's attractive and adding value to someone that cares about it.
Exactly. It's like a qualified lead. It's like this person is interested in the issue of homelessness. So they're downloading this. So you already know that they're interested. It's almost like that first step, that first handshake. It's not reaching out to the grand masses and just throwing your message out there like on a billboard. Which I never understand billboards, but I don't know because that's everybody in the world, but not everyone in the world is going to care about dogs or homelessness or poverty or domestic violence or whatever it might be. So finding that that almost qualified lead in, you know, marketing speak, I think is really smart. So actually this leads me to something I wanted to ask you, because I saw on your blog that you write and talk about social media strategy. That is like my wheelhouse. That is something that I talk a lot about and teach about. And I also do think that it should be part of this proven framework. And I know you think so as well. So what tips do you have for nonprofits that want to build their following and get more engagement on social media, especially these maybe smaller, less tech savvy ones?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And that's who we're mainly working with. We were grateful to get some promotion from StoryBrand when we launched our book. And we actually worked with them on a podcast we did specifically for social media. So we worked with them on building a social media plan for nonprofits that was really simple to apply. And we just broke it into 3/3. So it's like all the posts you're doing, break them into thirds. Mm. And 1/3 of the time, you need to write about your mission, mission focused. Share what you're doing, the impact you're making, because that's important. A lot of time, though, we're spending 80-90% on that. Mm-hmm. And just cut it down to 1/3. 1/3 of the time, speak to the donors that you're trying to reach. Speak about them. Maybe it is sharing stories of donors that have donated and their impact for being a part. Once you really know who the donor is, right, you spend time doing that, then you know how to write to them and what they care about. And then a third of the time, you're just asking for advice and connection. That's it. And that's part of where the engagement comes in, because people are trying to find creative ways to engage and do all that. You just need to ask for advice and connections. And that's a lot of times what we're doing with people and their donors. We say it too in our book, with sometimes you just go into your board and going, what businesses are you part of and churches you're a part of, or things that we can start asking them for advice and get feedback from them. We're not asking them for money. And then they're surprised by the amount of interaction they get, and sometimes donations or support and volunteers, just because they're asking for advice. It's really a non-threatening way to get feedback. And it's amazing how many people love to give their advice, right? Versus their money. But if you can get that, it's a doorway into a connection for you.
People love to be heard. And yeah. Studies have shown that donors do like to feel not only acknowledged, but heard. So, you know, hear me if I say I just want email and I don't want direct mail, or hear me if I say I'm interested in this program and not this other program, you know, understand that I've given for 20 years and don't treat me like you've just met me, you know, donors really want that, to feel that way, to feel connected that way. And I think this is a really interesting conversation, because I completely agree that all successful fundraising programs, like, it's not about choosing between traditional and modern methods, right? It's not about, oh, should we do phone calls and an annual appeal versus social media? It's about embracing all of it, and whatever you can do, of course, if you have really minimal staff. So based on your bandwidth and your capacity, but embracing all of the tools at your disposal to really maximize your impact. I think where organizations get tripped up, and you might have some advice on this, and I'm sure you've seen this in your work in the trenches, like, how can fundraisers get buy-in for both of these approaches? Because what I've seen is a board that's very on board with, like, let's do all traditional, or a board that's very wanting to do all digital. And usually they're kind of at odds with each other. How can we make a case for the things that we want to do that we know are impactful? And how can we convince, like, coworkers, EDs, and board members to let us do more of what's working?
For those of you just getting started in building your board, make sure there's a mix of that when you bring in the board.
Yeah.
Right? When you first get a mix of that. So there is some of that tension already that exists. I would say we did this a lot when I worked at the church. Someone comes up with an idea and they want you to execute it. I would flip it back on them. Great, go do it.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Right. Hey, let's have a silent auction. Okay.
Great. Go do it. Yeah. Let me know how it goes. Let's know what you need, you know? And I think it's okay to challenge and get back to your board on that, because your board should be some of your biggest promoters and the ones bringing in the funds too.
Totally agree.
And when they come up with an idea like that, shoot back. Great. Can you please execute that for me and get this done? And then you kind of really they realize where the real work's being put. Regardless if you're paid or not. And I think that, put it in their court, because then it becomes too a unified, okay, let's do this together and figure out how to make it happen. And then people learn from both sides. So when you see the wins, then you make decisions on what worked and what didn't work. And I think that's always a good, you know, it's not a sacred cow that we've been always doing it this way. It's like, no, we've made 80 grand on that every year, but we spend 60 to make it happen. And this other thing is making 20 every quarter, and we're not doing a whole lot of work. So it's time to cut the 80. And it's hard for some people, like, oh, but it's our thing. We love doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but man.
Oh, and a lot of times for the board members, and this is total generalization, it's very much like their thing. It's like, oh, I can invite my friends and family.
Absolutely.
I can buy a table. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then you flip it on the numbers and you're like, well, so-and-so spent their entire salary on getting that event done, you know, and now we can either not have that salary or we can put it towards things that are more towards the cause or whatever. So it is a juggle, and you're dealing with people, and people, you know, you've got to really build relationships.
That's
and
valid.
It is what it is, because we're in the people business. It's what it is. So I think it's an ebb and flow, and allowing things to not always be your way, but also putting in their court.
No, that's such a good point. We're dealing with multiple personalities. Also, board members that might be newer, board members that might be older, maybe there's founder syndrome in there. Like, not a lot of nonprofits, but there are quite a few that were founded because of an event. Mm. I've seen that happen where there was some kind of fundraiser that was so successful for a specific cause or issue that then became a 501c3. And then it's sort of like based on that event. And right. I completely agree with you that we need to be thinking holistically about, you know, communicating with our donors in all of these different ways, but being laser focused on our donors, just like what they're thinking, what motivates them, what drives them, right, whether or not you're emailing them or whether or not you're calling them.
Right. You said that great. I don't think I can add anything to that. That's exactly what I would say. Yes.
Yay. All right. Well, okay. I want to hear where people can reach out to you, work with you, and find you. So you currently have Quirk. You currently work and have founded like three different companies, right? Quirk, Vehicle for Good, and Bowtie Media.
Yeah, and Vehicle for Good is the nonprofit.
Okay.
Bowtie Media came from the past, which someone else runs. It's just one that I own, but okay. It's a passion project when I first started it. But I love starting things, and I think that's part of too why we started the nonprofit. I love getting something started, and now I kind of get a team around it so that they can really build something. And there's some really cool things happening on Vehicle for Good. I'm really jazzed about this. Next year should be huge. Building our own partnerships. When you say where we can find us, I think I just add some more value to your audience. For those of you listening, if you want to get our book, we'll give it to you 50% off. You just need to put in Nonprofit Nation in the promo code. We'll make sure to set that up. So it'll just be live on there. I doubt we'll take it away. So if you use Nonprofit Nation as the promo code, you'll get the book for 50% off, just because it's honestly our tool to get in your hands to help and get resources and then value. And then start checking this out and see what, you know, what can be applied, what can't. And let's talk. Let's have a conversation. And Quirk Growth is the name of the company. Started because we're just a bunch of quirky people coming together and trying to help each other out. But we have a team of remote team. There's about six of us right now, all working remotely, helping nonprofits. And yeah, we'd love to talk to you because we understand what it takes. Most people on the team have either started nonprofits, have been on church staff, have done the work, and we put on the events. We have done we understand what it takes. And now we just want to help you get a leg up.
Yay. Well, what's the website?
So quirkgrowth.com. Mm-hmm. We'll take you there. You should check out, there's a new product we just launched, Donor Connect. It's awesome. We are helping, once they become a donor, to stay that long-term donor. We're helping them stay connected to the donors in more automation than ever before. So
LastingDonorLocator.com, is that a website as well?
It is a domain. Yeah, that gets you the resources from the book. That is, it'll take you to the book as well.
Okay, we want to make sure. So we can go to QuirkGrowth.com.
And that'll show you everything.
Enter Nonprofit Nation coupon code, get 50% off. I love that. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Anything to show some value and know that we're in it with you, that'd be awesome.
Fantastic. James, thank you so much. What's the weather like in Fort Worth right now?
It has been beautiful the last few days, but if it gets cold again, I'm going to get a little upset.
Cold? What is cold in Fort Worth?
Cold to me is when we start dropping into 40s. I'm like, no.
It's 42 right now in Boston, and it's like spring. Like people are outside in shorts and t-shirts.
Well, we're in our like few weeks of 70s, so I'm hoping it lasts a little while longer. Oh,
70s sounds amazing. Yeah. Well, I hope to get out to Texas. But oh my gosh, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your expertise, and for that 50% off. Like we said, quirkgrowth.com. Get the book. I'll put all the links in the show notes. I'll be posting it on social media. You can get 50% off by using the code Nonprofit Nation. James, thank you so much.
You're awesome, Julie.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn.